We're here today to celebrate during this Christmas season the birth of Jesus. What do you think of when you think of Christmas time? What memories come to your mind? Do you think of happy memories? Maybe some of you have happy memories. Maybe some of you have some different memories that are there waiting on you. Maybe some of you have some memories that aren't too great at Christmas time. My dad always teased me when I was growing up. He said, son, we were so poor when I was growing up at Christmas time. He said, we got a flashlight one Christmas and batteries the next. But how many know Christmas is much more than gifts? Some of us like to spoil our kids at Christmas. Sometimes we have a hard time at Christmas time. Maybe we don't financially feel like we can do what we want to do. For some of us, maybe facing Christmas alone is not a very happy time. For some of us, facing Christmas without loved ones that we've lost. Christmas can be a difficult time and yet a joyful time at the same time. Brings up a lot of memories. Some of them good, some of them maybe painful. You know, there's a song called Silent Night that we sing at Christmas time so traditionally. And I like the song Silent Night because it talks about, of course, being a silent night. How many know that it was, matter of fact, I think there's a scripture on this. Let's look at this. About a silent night on a hillside. In Luke 2:8, look what it says here. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out on the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Ever feel like you're working and just kind of going through the routine of work and you feel like it's so dark around you that no matter what you do, you just seems like it's so silent that you can't hear God's voice. You can't hear any voice of reason. You can't hear any voice of compassion. You can't hear any voice other than the voices of desperation. Maybe the voices of depression try to creep in. Maybe the voice of Christmas past tries to come and to haunt you and to tell you things of past mistakes and past failures and past disappointments in life. For others, Christmas is a time of joy, but for some here today, Christmas can be a time of silence. A time when you feel very isolated, very alone. The world around you is ringing bells and smiling, saying Merry Christmas, and you're smiling and going along with the game, but inside you feel very alone, very silent. You know, it's in those times the most that I believe God wants to speak to us. It's in those times most that God shows up. We see the shepherds here on the hill. See, they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy, which will be to all people. Don't you love this part? The angel shows up in the middle of the night on a hillside. Shepherds out just watching their flocks at night, dark in their thoughts. And the angel of the Lord, the voice of the Lord shows up saying, peace on earth to all people. Today, I know that whatever you're going through in your life, know this, that the birth of Jesus brought this one thing. It brought peace to our life. He spoke peace to us. He said, peace to all men. He didn't say peace to only a few. He didn't say peace to only those who got it together. He didn't say peace to only those who've had a good year. But peace to those who've had a good year, and peace to those who've had a bad year. And peace to those who are walking in the borderline of depression, and those who are walking, battling the ghost of Christmas past. Those who are battling financial problems. Those who are battling family hardships. He speaks to our situation. No matter what you're going through, Christmas time represents that God came and He spoke joy to you and I. He brings peace to you and I. Peace, goodwill toward men. Look what it says. For there is born to you this day the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, as you will find a babe wrapped up in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. There's that word peace again. The word peace and goodwill toward men. So today, maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've been in the middle of a silent night. I've been in the middle of a night where I don't hear God's voice the way I used to. Instead, I'm feeling a lot of pressure of my situation. It seems very dark. If we could really just take off our mask today and be honest, that there's a lot of people here that could be very honest and say, man, my marriage, my finances, my family, my work, things that are going on, and really it's on the brink of being total darkness in my life. I'm here today to tell you the good news that it was on the silent night, on the dark side of a hillside, that the angel of the Lord came and he spoke these words. God has brought joy and he has brought peace to your situation today. It was a silent night.
Silent night, holy night, all is come, all is bright.
We just looked at the perspective of the shepherds on a silent night. How about the perspective of the wise men? You ever thought about this? The Bible talks about the wise men who traveled far from the east looking for the Savior. It says on our journey in Matthew chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 through 2, then we'll skip to verse 10 and 11. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, a wise man from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star from the east and have come to worship him. It says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw a young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know today as the wise men seek him. And you ever heard the statement that wise men still seek him today? Those who are truly wise are still seeking after the Savior. You know, many times we think this was the wise men found the baby Jesus in the manger on the side of a cliff somewhere under a little bit of a overhang. We talk about the Christmas story. Many times we talk about him being in a stable, being born in a stable. But actually, when you study it out in the translation and the traditions of the time, it actually wasn't even a true stable. It was probably more of an overhang of a cliff, kind of a cave-like area on the side of a hillside. And we think that the wise men found him there, and really, it says that when the wise men found him, they found him in the house. He didn't find him there. So this tells us that their journey didn't just happen within a few days. This journey lasted a long time. Matter of fact, Jesus had already been born and returned home. We don't know exactly how old he was, but we know it had been some time since his birth when they finally found him. You know, many times in our life when we're seeking after the answers, when we're seeking after the Savior, that we don't get the answer right away. Many times that we're seeking after answers. We're trying to find, God, where are you? God, where have you gone? And many times we'll give up before we ever have a chance to offer up our gift to him. I love the fact that the scripture says that the wise men gave him these are very expensive and precious gifts because they represent what you and I have to give. What's the most precious thing you can give to the Lord? It's us, isn't it? The most precious gift I can give him is my heart, my time, my talents. Everything I am, I bring to him. And so when we learn to worship the Lord, learning to be wise is people who seek after the Lord and do not give up. They seek after him, and when they find him, they say, God, I'm going to give you the best gift that I have, and that's myself. I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to give you the treasure, because the Bible teaches us where our heart is, so is what? Our treasure. Where our treasure is, so is our heart. So when we give him our treasure, we're giving him our heart of worship. This Christmas season, we buy a lot of gifts, and we give a lot of gifts. But today, what does the birthday boy really want? What is our Savior really looking for this Christmas? It's not to unwrap a nice shiny toy under the tree, but to unwrap our life and for us to say, everything I have belongs to you, Jesus. I bring you the gift of my heart. I bring you the gift of who I am. I bring you the gift of myself. And sometimes it doesn't look pretty. Sometimes myself is in a state of disarray. Sometimes myself is not in the best state possible. But he's not looking for me to clean up and shine up myself and to get my act all together. He's not looking for me to have everything lined out and perfect. No, he's looking for me to come, to seek him, and to be there just as I am. That's what he's wanting from us today. To worship him. To bring him a Christmas offering. To bring him a Christmas offering. We come and adore him. We come and adore him.
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lonely shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth, they traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven, falling on their knees. They bow before the humble Prince of Peace. We bring an offering of worship to our King. No one on earth deserves the praises that we sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow. No mortal man would dare to stand before the throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come.
I bring an offering of worship to my King.
Perspective of the shepherds, the perspective of the wise men. Let's now look at the perspective of Mary, the very center of what's happening, the mama. Any mamas can relate to Mary. I think the scripture is very clear about what Mary was going through during this time, and let's look at it together. In Luke chapter 1, pick it up in verse 26. This is now in the sixth month of the angel, Gabriel, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice highly, favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at this, at his saying, and considered what the manner of the greeting was. Can you blame her? How many of you would be traumatized if an angel appeared to you and said, "Hey, Mary, congratulations, you're pregnant." And she's like, "That's impossible. I'm a virgin." Look what Scripture says. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be called the name Jesus." Mary, who was engaged to Joseph, still a virgin, but yet the angel came to her and says, "Mary, congratulations, you're pregnant." I wonder, in our minds, she was thinking, "Wow, what an awesome responsibility for a young girl like me. I'm just a maidservant. Who am I to carry the Savior of the world?" At the same time, she's thinking, "How's Mom and Dad going to understand this? Joseph is never going to believe me. I promise, honey, it was the Holy Spirit talk about scandal. I mean, we know how difficult it is in this day. Can you imagine 2,000 years ago? The fact that she had to consider that she was going to be facing a lot of things. A lot of fear had to come through Mary's mind. Can you think the fear of change? I'm pregnant. All right. There's a lot of things going to happen here I'm not expecting. The fear of criticism. What are people really going to say when I tell them it's the Holy Spirit who impregnated me? It's not Joseph's. It's the Son of God. I'm still a virgin. The fear that people are not going to believe her. The criticism that's going to follow. The fear of the supernatural. That she's going to supernaturally give birth to the Savior of the world. The fear of not feeling inadequate. But who am I to do this big task for God? A lot of things that Mary was thinking in her mind. A lot of things that Mary had to be going through. Thinking this responsibility. I love the fact that Jesus was born in a scandalous way. I love the fact that he was born this way because there had to be so much rumor going on. There had so many people talking. "There goes Mary. And the Holy Spirit speaking." Sure. You know. Poor girl, she's just delusional. She can't admit that she made a mistake. Her and Joseph worked up the scheme. It's the Holy Spirit. I mean, the shame that went with people not believing your story. Only those who were very close and the angel of the Lord had appeared to and told. The disgrace she had to walk around, the fear. But I love that fact that that's the way Jesus was born. Because really, it's not different than our lives today, is it? I mean, how many of us really got it all together? How many of us really have got everything perfect? And many times we think, how could a Savior really love me? How could a Savior really impact my life? If you could really see in my heart, Pastor, you see today that my life's really scandalous. I got a lot of things in there that if people really knew, they'd be talking. If people do know, and they talk anyway. I love the fact that God shows up this way because it tells us no matter what we're going through in our life, no matter what you've done in your life, that God wants to come and he wants to penetrate. He wants to come and be the very center of your scandalous situation. He wants to become the focus of your disappointment. He wants to come and take all your fears of sin. God, who am I to be used of you? Take all your fears. God, what would people think of me? I've done so many past mistakes. God, if I give you everything I am, what would people think? God, if I sell out to you, Lord, and give you my whole heart, if I offer up to you everything, what would people really think of me when they've known my past? I love the fact that he came and was born in the middle of a scandalous situation on the outside. But on the inside, it was the perfect will of the Holy Spirit. On the inside, it was the perfect will of God being fulfilled. On the inside, God's plan was coming to life. And many times it's in our problem, many times it's in our scandalous situation that God's working things out. And when we don't understand why we're going through this mess, and we don't understand why we're being pulled this direction, and why we're having to walk through this tough time in our life, we know this one thing, that if we allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of our life, that God will birth something new for His glory. That God will birth out of you, I promise. God will birth out of you a new dream, a new blessing. We'll just submit. This is what Mary had to do. She had to trust that, God, you're going to be in control of this situation. God, you're going to have to take care of my fiance. He's going to have to understand, and I can't make him understand, God. Only you can do this. God, you're going to have to take care of my parents. You're going to have to take care of what we're going to do next. God, it's in your hands. And that's exactly where God wanted Mary. That's exactly where God wanted Joseph. So his promise could be fulfilled. Mary's perspective. How many know a baby changes everything? That baby changed everything. Even though it was scandalous. Even though there was a lot of pain involved. A lot of travel involved. That baby came. Our Savior. It changed the world.
Teenage girl, much too young, unprepared. What's to come? A baby changes everything. Not a ring on her hand. All her dreams and all her plans. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. Man she loves, she's never touched. How could she keep his trust? A baby changes everything. She has to lose everything.
Shines down.
Changes everything. We look at the perspective of the shepherds, perspective of the wise men, Mary's perspective. What about us? What's your perspective today? What's the perspective that you have? This baby Jesus brings a lot of things that we must face in our life. A lot of decisions that all of us must face. And too many of us here, we're faced with this decision. Who is Jesus to me? For some of you, He's been a life-changing Redeemer, a Savior. For others, He's just a part of Christmas. I know that He's there, and it's His birthday, and He was a good teacher. Matter of fact, everybody in the world confers on this one thing. They believe that Jesus Christ still today was the best teacher that ever walked the earth. Even atheists agree upon that point. But we all are faced with the decision. What do you say about the Messiah? Who is He to you? It was the Jews who did not recognize the Messiah. The Jews totally missed the birth of the Savior. Because they were expecting the Messiah to return back in such a glorious fashion. I mean, how could the Messiah come and be born a baby to a maidservant on the hillside somewhere in the middle of a dark night? I mean, think about it. If you and I were the Messiah, how would we come back? How would we make our grand entrance? I don't know about you, but I would come back in the middle of halftime of the Super Bowl. Boom, right there. Scoot over, man. I'm taking over. I am here. You know, we'd have been there, man. We'd have had the whole thing. We would make a grand entrance, wouldn't we? Maybe we just would have made it big. But I love the fact that our Savior didn't come to scare us. Can you imagine that happening across the TV sets everywhere? The Messiah shows up, boom, all over the world. No, I love the fact He didn't come back to scare us. He came back as a baby. He didn't come back and have a royal parade. You know, they're already talking about the marriage ceremony of the prince and his new bride. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be one of the biggest weddings of the century. Millions upon millions upon millions are going to be spent and watched. People are going to be watching. We think about the grand entrance that people make of royalty. But Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, chose not to make His grand entrance that way, but as a baby. Why is that? Because how many know that there's just something about a baby that you just want to kiss, you just want to hold, you just want to embrace. Something about a baby that warms your heart, that you can accept. And He came in a way that you and I could relate to. He came in a way that you and I could understand. We can't relate to those who live in grand palaces, and we can't relate to those who have great TV weddings around the world. But we can relate to the pain of birth, childbirth. We can relate struggling to find a place to put over your head. We can relate to scandalous situations. We can relate to reputations being scarred. We can relate to these things because our Savior wanted to come in a way that we could embrace. But yet many still missed Him. Many still missed Him. His own people, even today, have missed the Messiah, not recognizing that He was the true Messiah because He came in a way they didn't expect. You know, we shopped for many things this Christmas season. We go shopping for Grandma and Grandpa and Mom and Dad and brother and sisters and children and spouses. And our life is really filled that way. We shop all the time, isn't it? Our perspective changes all the time. We shop all the time. We're always shopping for relationships. We're shopping for position, prestige. We're shopping for adventure. And we go through all these aisles shopping our life, and we take this relationship, and we take this position, and we take this adventure, and we take this prestige thing, and we take it, and we put it in our basket, and we take it and put it in our life. And when it's all said and done, yet there's still something missing. We realize that no degree, no amount of money, no position, no great relationship will ever fill the void in my heart. Only until I allow the baby Jesus. When I recognize who He was and what He meant to my life, that He brought forgiveness to me, that He came to redeem mankind, that He came to walk love among us, grace among us, that He could relate to us, that He could teach us, that He could empower us, that He could willingly die upon the cross for our sins, to redeem mankind. How do you view Him today? He's more than just the baby at Christmas time. Much more than that. He's the baby of every day. He's the Savior who grew to redeem us and to right relationship with the Father. That you and I, who were once destined for the wages of sin, the bring of death, that we can have eternal life in Jesus Christ by accepting this baby Jesus. More than just a baby, He grew up to be our Savior who died willingly upon the cross. This one child, He changed the world. This one child changed everything. His light from heaven shines down on us.
All of us struggle. All are broken. Many of us feel we're part of humanity's mass, constantly moving and going nowhere. We find frustration in our relationships, our systems, and even ourselves. We're lonely, we're cynical, we're scared. They felt all this too, even more so.
2,000 years ago, their everyday existence was what we would consider the third world, covered in spiritual darkness, smothered in political violence and oppression. But heaven's light shines into this.
There in a cold, wet cave lay a God who put on flesh. A God who, for some strange reason, was choosing to dwell among people.
Into the heart of the familiar, this baby holds the potential to restore humanity's belief in the extraordinary. Heaven's light shines into this. With His life, He will save. With His death, He will conquer.
And with His love, He will answer the question, what is God?
What is God really like?
So even though we sit 2,000 years beyond this event,
can we really sit beyond this event?
The one who was held by Mary is now holding us.
The one who cried in the middle of the night
is now wiping the tears
from our eyes.
This newborn is offering new birth wherever you are.
Whatever you're in the middle of.
However the story of your life has unfolded.
The news is good.
The news is very, very good.
Heaven's light shines into this.
Son, the virgin rejoiced, gave thanks to the Lord, and as Joseph dreamt, the angel was sent with tidings of peace and joy of the blessed baby boy. They traveled for miles to reach Bethlehem. When they arrived, no one could provide a place at the inn for them. But God kept them safe from hurt, harm, and danger. In His warm embrace, away in a manger, waiting for Jesus' birth to glorify the earth.
Servers begin to prepare this morning. We're going to be taking communion in just a few minutes here together. But the question is, what do we do at Christmas? What are we going to do with this Savior? This baby who changed the world. This one child who was born. You know, the world seems today that it's pushing more and more, trying to be politically correct, taking the Ten Commandments off of our government offices, taking prayer out of our government places, pushing harder and harder to separate God from our government. But yet, isn't it amazing that on Christmas Day that All of our government offices will be closed. You ever thought about that? This Christmas, all of our government offices will be closed. Why? Because they're acknowledging this thing, that we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Every time our government prints out an official document, it has on there a date. Where does that date come from? That date was changed 2,000 years ago. That when Jesus came, His birth was so important that it changed the way we even keep time. That when we write 2010, soon to be 2011, we're acknowledging that 2,000, 10 years ago, that a Savior came, that Jesus was born. You say, what's the big deal about Christmas? What's the big deal? I just never got it. What's the big deal about Christmas? You see, Christmas is a big deal, not only because of our Savior, but let me give you a secret. You know what the really big deal of Christmas really is? It's the secret that maybe mom and daddy never told you. The big deal about Christmas is you and me. We're the big deal at Christmas. Oh, we celebrate the birth, but do you realize this one thing? The reason why we're the big deal at Christmas is this. If we did not need a Savior, He would not have come. The fact that He came says that you and I were worth it. It says that you and I needed the Savior. That you and I could not make it to redemption on our own. But we were such a big deal to our God that He bankrupted heaven, giving the most precious gift He could give, His only begotten Son, to show us His love, to willingly die upon the cross for you and I. So what's the big deal about Christmas? It's me and it's you. And the fact that our Savior loved us this much. The sin redemption in the form of a baby, in the form of a child. Today, what will you do? I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads where you're at this morning. Before we do anything else today, nobody's looking around but me. I will not embarrass you in any way at all. But today, I want to ask you this before we go any further. If you're here today and say, Pastor, as you're speaking, I realize today that I need to accept this Jesus unto my heart. More than just acknowledging that it's His birthday, more than just acknowledging that it's Christmas time. Today, I need to make Him my Lord and Savior. I need to change my relationship with Him. Our relationship has always been based upon maybe Christmas or Easter, acknowledging that, yes, He was a good teacher, and yes, He came to earth. But today, I'm realizing that it's more than just that. It's acknowledging that I need a Redeemer, that I'm lost in my sin. And today I realize I need a relationship with Jesus that goes beyond Christmas. It goes beyond Easter time. It's a daily relationship with Him that brings redemption to my life, forgiveness of my sins. Today, before I leave here, Pastor, I'm ready to make that decision to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before. Maybe you prayed it a long time ago. Say, Pastor, I've been a long ways away from God. And today, I want to renew my relationship with Him. Nobody's looking around but me right now, and I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want you just to lift your hand and say, Pastor, I'm ready today to make that decision. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, I'm ready to make that decision to accept Jesus Christ in my heart. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you. Anybody else today? There's plenty of time for you. Don't let this opportunity pass. You say, I'm ready, Pastor, today to make a decision to change my life. Thank you. I see the other hand in the back. Anybody else, you want to join these five people today and say, I'm ready to make a decision for Jesus Christ? One more time, can you lift your hand? That's at you. I want us all to repeat this prayer this morning, especially those who raised your hand, but we're going to say it along with you today. I want you to mean it from your heart. Let's say this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I give everything I am. I give it to you today. I give you my heart. I give you everything. It belongs to you. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Messiah. and I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray that prayer. We say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, amen. You prayed that prayer today. Before you leave, we'll have a special packet in the back. It's got a free Bible and some other things to tell you what to do next. And we say, stop by there at the Information Center. Right back there, the door's open. You can grab one of those before you leave today. But we have the exciting thing today to do, and that's to take communion. This is Christmas time. As we take communion together, we're acknowledging that He is our great God beyond Christmas time. That He's a God who is eternal in our hearts, in our lives, alive forevermore. And today we're going to celebrate Him by taking of the Lord's table. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. In just a second, I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to come down the aisle. So I'm going to kind of draw an imaginary line in this middle section. If you can kind of just draw an imaginary line, this half come to this side, and this half join these over here. You're going to come down one side and go back up the other. Receive the elements. Take them. They'll hand them to you. Hold on to those. Go back to your seat, and then we'll pray over those together and receive those together as we come to take of the Lord's table. Stand today and come, receive the elements. Did with his disciples before the journey in the garden, which led to the crucifixion, was he had supper with them. And when he was meeting them with them, what's often called the Last Supper, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he talked about when we come together that oftentimes when we come, that we remember that the bread represents his body. Body which was broken for us, the body which was nailed to a cross, the body who took our pain, the body he took the stripes upon his back, the body was beaten beyond recognition, beyond what we could ever comprehend in our mind. It was worse than that, tearing his flesh off his bones. Each whip. And he did it because he loved us. Anytime he could have backed away. At any time he could have said this is too much. But he did it because he loved us. From the time that he left, heaven became a baby. He knew that his destiny was the cross. And so he told his disciples that when you eat the bread, remember, it represents my body, which was given up for you. So he took it and he blessed it. Let's bless it, Father. We bless this bread together. We remember the sacrifice that you gave for us. We remember the beating you took, representing the weight of the world, the sins of the world. You took it for us. You stepped into our place and took our punishment. And today we bless this bread. And we take it together. We remember your body. Let us see. He said, in the same manner, he took the cup. And he said, this juice represents the blood that was shed upon the cross. This blood was no ordinary blood. We know it was the blood of redemption. Only this blood has the power to delete, to erase all of our sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing except for the blood of Jesus. It was this blood that purified me. It was this blood that came to my scandalous situation, guys. It was this blood that came to my mess. It was this blood that came to my disappointment and brought life, redemption, forgiveness, peace on earth, and goodwill. It was this blood that was given willingly for you and I. When the blood flowed out of his head from the thorns, when it flowed out of his back from the beating of the whip, when it flowed out of his arms and legs and his feet from the nails that were pierced, it ran down to bring redemption to you and I. May we never forget. It's much more than Christmas shopping. It's much more than Christmas cards. It's much more than Christmas dinners. It's the blood of our Savior. Christmas represents everything he did for us on the cross, that he came to bring redemption to our life. Let's bless it. Father, we bless this cup, which represents your blood. And today, Father, we thank you. We say thank you, Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just say it. We thank you. Thank him in your own way. Thank you that you took the pain for me. Thank you that you took the nails for me. That while I was yet a sinner, Christ, you died for me. Even when I didn't deserve it, even when I didn't ask for it, you stood in my place, knowing that I would fail you, knowing that I would disappoint, knowing, God, that I would run sometimes in my life from you. But God, you love me in spite, and you took the nails willingly. You took the beating willingly, that your blood may be shed. The spotless Lamb of God, which brought redemption to mankind. That all who confess, all who believe upon you shall receive of this cup that brings forgiveness, that brings healing, that brings peace to us today. And God, we thank you for this blood, and we take it together in the name of Jesus. Let us drink. Now I want you to join your voices together. The Word of God says that when he was born, the angels sing this song of Hosanna, Hosanna. Matter of fact, it says that even now, around the throne, that the angels are continuously singing this song, Hosanna, Hosanna. Come on, let's sing it to him. give our Savior a hand this morning? Come on, a hand of worship. This morning, just remain standing today as they grab the lights in the back. I want to make sure you get them on. Justin's going to come and close us out in the word of prayer this morning. Remember, when you leave here today, stop by and grab those Krispy Kremes, deliver them on your way home. You guys have a very, very Merry Christmas. Those who are traveling, be safe on the road. Those of you who are in town, we'll be meeting next week at 10:30. We're going to have a great worship service. Plan on being here if you're close. It's going to be a great time. You guys have a great week today as Justin comes to dismiss us.
Let's bow. Lord, we just thank you so much for sending your son in the form of us, God. Lord, everything that it represents, God, our redemption, God, Lord, our allowance, Lord, to be back in a relationship with you, God. We don't take it for granted this morning, God. Lord, we celebrate you. We sing Hosanna. We sing Hallelujah, God. We bless your name. And Lord, as we go about the rest of this holiday season, God, I pray that aside from the gifts, God, Lord, before the food and the family, God, that we would give honor and reverence to you, God. Lord, because of what you did for us, God, was greater than anything else that could have been done for us. Like Pastor Gene said, if we did need a Savior, then you wouldn't have sent Jesus. But because we needed a Savior, you sent him, God, and we bless your name. God, we glorify you, God, and we bless you. But we pray that we would always remember, God, that you are the reason, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.